there. You're listening to the Only Schoolers podcast. I'm Gina Prosh, and hanging out here with me, as always, is my co-host, Kristen Edwards.
Yes, my teen schedule is a bit busy now, but I've always got a few extra minutes to hang out with you, Gina, and our Only Schoolers listeners, because it doesn't seem to matter what we talk about. We always have something new to unpack, and I come away with fresh insights each time. So speaking of new and fresh, be sure to head over to onlyschoolerssubstack.com and get signed up for our What If Wednesday email newsletter. It debuted a couple weeks ago, the first part of September. There's always a few more thoughts that we have about certain topics or questions that listeners have asked us. So that newsletter is kind of like a little extra mini episode dropped straight into your inbox each week. All of this is just to say I am really enjoying this season and all the new ways that we're finding to connect with you. So one of my very favorite new fresh things to love is the Spotify playlist that we have got to go along with each hashtag quotes episode. To me, music's like salt. It makes everything better.
It has been so much fun to think about what songs kind of embody this. And there are songs that you have that I don't, that I have that you don't. And it's really been interesting to pull these things together. I have enjoyed the brainstorming of songs to go along with the topics that we have discussed. And, you know, between the two of us, I think we're really expanding the kind of music that we usually listen to. So listeners, head over to Spotify, look for the Only Schoolers hashtag quotes playlists, see if some of your favorite songs are there. Links to the playlist and the Substack subscription will be in the show notes.
So one of the great things that I found about having a teen in the house is that September has introduced me to some really fabulous songs that I might not have come across on my own. But, you know, I've also opened her world to a huge variety too. Hello, 80s music. You're so beautiful. But in messing around with Spotify the other night, we came across playlists for Puna Mayo. I don't know if you've never heard of it, look them up. Awesome songs from around the world. And September said, oh my gosh, that's the sound of my childhood right there. And we both started remembering all the cool songs from around the globe that we used to listen to when she was little. And she added, you know, I would totally still listen to all of these songs, and not even ironically, which I think is high praise from a teen. So I'm looking forward to sharing some of those eclectic tastes that we have, including some Putumayo, as we continue this season of hashtag quotes and our Spotify lists.
Speaking of which, after you check out our Spotify list, don't forget to check the Only Schoolers website for a list of the quotes for each episode. If you like to listen while you walk or fold laundry, there's no need to scramble for a pencil and notepad to jot down a quote. Just finish your work, then go to onlyschoolers.com. We update the website right after each new episode's drop. And listeners, if you have any favorite quotes for any of the themes that we've discussed, head over to Facebook. Our hashtag is onlyschoolers there. Add them to one of the episode posts. And we've also got the Only Schoolers Teachers Lounge, a special private group that you can sign up for.
So please do join the Teachers Lounge, add your quotes there, join the Facebook, join Instagram, just anywhere you join, add quotes, because my Jane Journal is not going to fill itself up.
It's going to take some work, a lot of reading, a lot of thinking about if the quotes speak to you, a lot of writing and considering whether to use your bestest handwriting. And it doesn't matter if you are on the second page or the 52nd page collecting quotes, you still have to put in the work to fill out the journal.
So true. It is a good thing that I really love reading and that this journal is a labor of love to express that. And that's actually kind of a good way to get talking about our next set of quotes, because that thing you said about it not mattering if we're on the first page or the 51st page in our quote collecting business, if you think about it, that same principle applies to raising kids. It doesn't matter if we've got toddlers or if we've got teenagers in the house, we still have to put in the work. And it doesn't necessarily get easier just because we've got some parenting years under our belts.
And that is truth right there. You know, we all breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, potty training is over, or they're sleeping through the night, thank heavens. But there's one thing that never really gets mentioned in those early years. The teenage years aren't going to be any less work than the toddlers. Sorry, listeners.
But you know, I'm not speaking the truth here. So that's the theme of our episode today. The misconceptions about parenting and homeschooling teenagers. Now, Gina and I both have teens, although Gina, your mothering a teen years are almost over. So that's really kind of where our hearts are right now. And honestly, we both feel that sometimes these teen years get a bad rap. There are so many misconceptions about teenagers. They're moody, they're lazy, they're sassy. I mean, you name it, teens have had that negative thought hurled at them. And as parents, I think sometimes we foolishly believe that we should have less work as our teens grow up because they're supposed to be taking on more responsibilities. Well, yes, they are, but someone still has to show them. They don't just come factory installed with all the information they need to be a functioning adult when they magically hit 13. So again, sorry, we're still very much on the job. Okay, Gina, did you absolutely hate it when you were holding your brand new baby boy and people started warning, oh, just wait till he's a toddler?
Oh yeah, it's like people can't wait to tell you that doom is lying in wait for you right around the parenting corner.
And then in the elementary ages, you know, people start talking about how horrible the teen years are going to be. I always think there are a million and one ways to support a parent, but people keep falling back on those old outdated cliches. I mean, ugh. A little honesty would go a lot farther, and it would be more appreciated than those old chestnuts that people keep trotting out. Because honestly, September never had a terrible two stage. I mean, not even when she hit three, which I think is a lot of times when it kicks in. And so far, I have thoroughly enjoyed her teenage years. I mean, yes, there has been a hiccup here and there, but you know, all those dire predictions of the surly teen who sulks and skulks and never talks or helps out around the house? Nope. That has not been the experience of our teen years.
Oh, same. Complete with no terrible two stage, and with only about 14 months of teenagerdom left, the teen years have really been pretty terrific.
So I wonder if it's sometimes like you do when you look for joy, you know, that project, your that's that day's joy. If we're looking for the negative aspects of toddlers or teens, then probably that's all we're going to see. But if we focus on the positive, maybe we can create some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. What do you think?
I think there is a whole lot of truth there because we really do find the things that we're looking for. And while I have found all kinds of things I wasn't looking for, like silverware in really, really strange places. Just the other day, I found a spoon under the deck. I'm like, what the heck? How does this get here? Anyway, if I spend time every day nitpicking at every single thing why it does that isn't 100%, I could be busy all day long because, newsflash, none of us do every single thing at 100% perfection. I believe accentuating the positive things our kids are doing helps them know which direction to head in.
I agree. I think whatever your personal experience is with your toddlers or teens, one thing is true. Parenting is work. No matter what ages you have in your house, thinking that, oh, it's going to be so much easier when they reach whatever milestone you're looking at, that's honestly, it's just going to lead to some disappointment when that magical easy age doesn't appear.
And there's always an ebb and flow in parenting. I mean, sometimes things are on an even keel, and then sometimes things can change on a dime, and it's all Betty Davis and fasten your seatbelts, it's gonna be a bumpy night. That metaphorical turbulence in life starts the moment you hold the baby in your arms, and honestly, I don't think it ever stops.
You are not kidding there. That doesn't mean that it's not all worth it, though. I will loudly proclaim that for me, the teen years have honestly been some of my very favorite parenting moments, and I've had a lot of fun moments to pick from. I love having a teenager. It is not always easy, and it's definitely not easier than having a toddler. But September and I are the best of friends, and that more than makes up for the hard bits that we've encountered. So if you were feeling discouraged that the teen years weren't as hands-free as you had been told they would be, or you hoped they would be, we're here to set the record straight, and we're going to set your mind at ease. You're not doing anything wrong. The thing about teens is they're actually super cool and self-sufficient, but they still need us just as much as they did when they were toddlers. So Gina and I, we've got some quotes to discuss and some experience to share.
We're going to start with a couple of proverbs because proverbs generally come from a place of common sense and experience passed down over generations. And you know, we love the idea of good old-fashioned common sense.
Oh, we absolutely do. So the first proverb is a Yiddish one. Small children disturb your sleep, big children, your life. And we're pairing that with an Italian proverb that pretty much expresses the same idea, a little bit different phrasing. Little children, headache, big children, heartache.
Then we will move on to one of my favorite author of quotes, the famous unknown. That unknown man, he or she is a wise one. All kidding aside, the quote's origin really is unknown, but it still packs a powerful punch. The line is, the average teenager still has all the faults his parents outgrew. Just think about that one for a minute as I move on to the next quote, this one from E.E. Cummings. It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are.
Those are both awesome quotes, and I have so many thoughts. But moving on, our next quote comes from one of my all-time favorite middle grade novels. The book is titled Sweep, The Story of a Girl and Her Monster. It's by Jonathan Auxier, and it is an absolutely beautiful story. And this is a quote that I immediately copied into my journal, like stopped reading and wrote it down right away. That's what it is to care for a person. If you're not afraid, you're not doing it right.
And our last quote is from Gandhi. In a gentle way, you can shake the world. Another solid lineup of quotes to unpack in the context of the work involved in raising teens.
So Gina, you probably remember that this whole topic came up because we were hanging out talking, as we do, and I made some comment about still needing to have time to find time in my day to help September with her work. And I kind of flippantly said, you know, everyone thinks homeschooling high school must be easier because they can do so much work on their own, but sometimes they really can't.
It's one of the myths I think of homeschooling, that teenagers are so much easier than younger kids. Can a teenager read Shakespeare on their own now? Sure. Can they understand everything Shakespeare is saying without someone helping them to dig for theme and character development? Yeah, probably not. So depending on how you homeschool, there could still be a fair amount of face-to-face with your teen. And all of a sudden, that vision of, you know, lazily flipping through a magazine or planning supper while your child is, you know, quietly working through all the lessons you had laid out, poof, vanished. There they are. Definitely more self-reliant, but you're still there, guiding them gently as they prepare for the complexities of life.
Exactly. And it's more than homeschooling, too. Our teens still need us in a very real way as they're figuring out their place in the wider world. So if parenting, and by extension for us, homeschooling, is all about our responsibility to create an environment in which our teen can thrive and become a competent adult, how do you think those first two proverbs fit in when it comes to our teenagers?
I'm going to start with small children disturb your sleep, big children your life. It just makes me laugh, in part because I know what my living room looks like. So the front room in our house, it's kind of an open space. Well, it was designed to be an open space. It's not actually an open space now. Couch, chairs, television on one side, and what used to be the music room where we had the stereo, a couple of chairs, Christmas tree goes there. Today, the floor in that area is filled with trains. Train layouts for O-gauge, standard gauge trains. Did I mention that it's filled? So yes, when kids are little, they may disturb your sleep. But as they get bigger, well, they get bigger. Physically, Wyatt is bigger. His stuff is bigger too. There's more stuff. I can't just chuck it all into some toy box and put it away. There's also an area in the dining room where he keeps track of all the things he sells on eBay. His bedroom is stuffed to the gills with things that he has collected. He's covered the walls in the hallway with really cool things he's found in antique shops over the years. He has curated an amazing collection, and I love it. But he has disturbed my life. And honestly, it reminds me of one of the reasons mama birds push those fledglings out of the nest. You know, there's that old electric company sketch about there's no room in this room. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's hilarious. I mean, right now, knock on wood, September stuff is mostly confined to her room. Mostly. So yeah, big children definitely disrupt our life, but I think the whole idea about big children and heartache is also so very painfully true. We've all had little kids with dropped ice cream cones or balloons that floated away. I mean, frustrating, sure, but that's easy to fix. Just get another ice cream cone, grab another balloon. The problems faced by our older kids, though, those aren't so easy. I mean, I always told September that I won't be able to fix everything, but I also won't let her go through it alone. I will sit right beside her to the end of whatever is going on. And that's its own heartache right there, just sitting beside a hurting child, no matter how old they are, knowing there's not a darn thing you can do about it except be there. And that honestly doesn't feel like it's enough, but it's pretty much all we can do sometimes. There's also the possibility that in that hurt and anger that they're feeling, they're going to lash out at us. And that makes sense. We're their safe place. Which brings us to Unknown's fabulous quote. The average teenager still has all the faults his parents outgrew. Ouch.
Oh, no kidding. Ouch, indeed. But we've talked about that before, how adult expectations for kids can be a bit unreasonable because we're basing our expectations on our experience. Experience our kids simply haven't had yet. They're not old enough. We've gained that experience through age. They haven't. Maybe we don't struggle with planning things out or impulse control or some restraint or being self-serving in our daily routine. Well, anymore.
Yeah. But since we've outgrown those faults, it doesn't make it any easier when all of a sudden our teen starts exhibiting them. So going back to what I said a second ago about teens lashing out, okay, in a perfect world, the grieving, hurting teen will appreciate the support that you're trying to offer as a loving parent. Okay, heads up, we don't live in a perfect world, and they often react the opposite of what you expect.
And that's okay. How many times as an adult have we all really wanted to bite someone's head off, but through supreme effort managed to, you know, grit our teeth and smile? That's us, all grown up and knowing how to manage a fault we might see in our teens.
Yeah, all about the biting people's heads off. As an adult, hopefully though, we have learned a kinder way of asking to be left alone while we grieve or grouse or whatever. Having powerful emotions, that's totally okay. We all have them. We just don't need to splatter them on whoever happens to be passing by. But like the quote says, as an adult, as parents, we've had enough time to kind of outgrow that knee-jerk reaction.
We have had enough experiences in life to know that having a good plan makes a project go smoothly, and we have to control our impulses. But we shouldn't get all whacked out and upset with our teens because they haven't learned those lessons yet. They don't come pre-programmed. We outgrew those faults with time, and we need to give them that same kind of grace period. It's up to us to help them prepare for the complexities of life, help them work through big emotions and those faults on their way to becoming generous and competent adults.
We know that life just stinks sometimes, but we don't need to add to the stench with our attitude. Have you ever had a situation with Wyatt, or maybe even with yourself as a teen, where you just quite hadn't outgrown a fault yet?
Okay, so we live on a farm. There are cattle that graze on the land outside the yard area of our house. And usually they stay where they're supposed to. But, you know, they're cows, and cows are... Okay, sometimes cows are not our friends. And there's one particular cow that is a fence jumper, a cattle guard crosser overer, and a general pain in the butt. And I've gotten to the point in life after years of cow chasing where I'm like, yeah, whatever, it's a cow, she's a jerk, oh well. But it drives Wyatt crazy. And it can be hard to remember that when we were his age, we were just as angry and frustrated at those annoying curveballs life threw our way. The lesson for me comes in quickly realizing my job is to blow off two things. I got to blow off Wyatt being upset, and I got to blow off a cow being in the yard. Because honestly, if I get my knickers in a twist, that only pours gas on the fire. But it can be a lot to process all at one time.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when a cow's munching your flowers. But in that growing up and outgrowing faults, our teens are also doing the hard work of figuring themselves out. And I think E.E. Cummings has the absolute smartest thing to say about that process when he wrote, "It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are." Our kids today, they are surrounded by, I mean, honestly, they are drowned by so much outside influence.
I saw this so often with the kids that I taught at college. particularly girls who are caught up in the whole body image thing. There's Vogue and Cosmopolitan and Playboy and Victoria's Secret and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, all these media images. And girls who are a healthy, average weight are left feeling like they're too heavy. And what are they supposed to think when even the models who are already thin end up being airbrushed on the, you know, the bottom, getting breast implants on the top? It can take so much courage to grow up and become who you really are. It took me a while to realize that the only person whose feet hurt while I was wearing high heels was me. And the day I realized that was pretty much the last day I wore high heels. That's the person I really am.
I've honestly loved this quote since September was a tiny thing. In fact, right before she kind of started kindergarten, I took some photos of her at my old college, and it was by these giant Greek style columns. And then my favorite one, she is just all smiles. I mean, the happiest little face you could see, and her hands are just raised up in the air. She's, of course, got her Dora doll clutched tightly in one of them. And she is just striding through those columns like she was going to conquer the world at the age of 5. And so when I kind of made a photo spread out of that, I added that quote because it just captured everything that I hoped for her at that age, that she could grow up and have the courage to be who she really is. And I think of all the ways over the last 12 years that the world has conspired to beat her down and kind of strip away that confidence and try to convince her that she can't be who she is. There have been adults who have failed her. There have been peers who have ignored or judged her. I mean, the list just goes on, because for any teenager, growing up is hard. It reminds me of a poem by Sarah Kay, If I Should Have a Daughter. And it's a spoken poem, and we'll put a link to it because it's really more powerful when you see her speak it. But she says, this life will hit you hard in the face. It will wait for you to get back up just so it can kick you in the stomach. But getting the wind knocked out of you is the only way to remind your lungs how much they like the taste of air. And as parents, that's our job. We need to step in. We need to step beside. We need to be behind our teens. And we've got to hold that space for them to grow into their awesome selves, because they're going to. Help them fill their lungs with that taste of courage that E.E. Cummings talks about. They still need us. These teenagers, they still need us to help them with that, just as much as we help them learn their ABCs or ride a bike.
Homeschool is a great start, I think. There is just more freedom here to do their own thing. We've talked about our weird kids and the fact that they think homeschool has allowed them to be more true to themselves. I think that is a gift we have been able to give them. And giving them that gift has been worth every bit of hard that we may have encountered along the way.
And that brings us to the quote from Jonathan Auxier's book. And it's one that really speaks to parents of teens, even though it's not a teenager in the book. But he says, that's what it is to care for a person. If you're not afraid, you're not doing it right.
And here's where we set your minds at ease about parenting and homeschooling teens. If you're scared that you're messing them up or failing them, then you're probably doing just fine. Otherwise, you wouldn't be worried about it. However, that I'm afraid I'll mess something up line is one of the most common excuses I've heard would-be homeschool parents use as a reason to not homeschool. And I always kind of want to shake them. Maybe the fact they aren't afraid to send their kids off to school should tell them something.
I think so. Quick PSA. One of our first Substack newsletters, the series, was, you know, what if I want to homeschool my kids and I don't know how to get started? I mean, that kind of builds right into this whole idea of I don't want to mess this up. So that series just finished up, but you can still find it archived at onlyschoolers.substack.com. So just be sure while you're there to sign up for the newsletter so you never miss another email. And back to our regularly scheduled programming, Gina.
Yes. Over the last 18, soon to be 19 years with Wyatt, the thing I found is that the little voice keeps me honest because it's there reminding me to pay attention. It's really easy to form habits, good ones and bad ones. So when the voice wonders if I'm messing up with something specific, say being pushy or nagging or whatever, chances are good it's time to really listen and maybe shift the way I'm doing something. Because parenting is not static. As your kids change, you have to change what you do in return.
Absolutely you do. I'm always telling September, I know you've never been a teenager before, But you have to remember, I've never parented a teenager before. And I especially never planned to do it as a single mom. And I mess up all the time. So yeah, sometimes I'm afraid I haven't pushed her out of her comfort zone enough. Or maybe I've pushed her too far and now she's traumatized for life. I'm afraid sometimes that I ask too much for her as emotional support. I'm afraid sometimes I don't ask enough of her for schoolwork. It's just a tough balancing act. So all those fears that we had of bringing home a newborn, I mean, to me, they're just increased tenfold, probably more, when it comes to these fabulous teenage creatures that are now living in our house. But Oxier's quote comforts me. I'm only afraid because I care so much. And that means I must be doing something right.
I think it's that thought that makes Gandhi's words possible as we raise our teen. In a small way, you can shake the world.
Absolutely, for sure. Because if we have done our job, and we talk about this all the time on the podcast, doing our job, our kids will be ready to go out into the world as competent adults. I mean, that's been the end game for this whole homeschool gig, from toddlers to teens. So even though we see our lives disturbed and we feel our hearts ache and we are annoyed as we see faults rise, we are raising kids who can see greatness and potential in their own lives.
And in that gentle way, we are shaking the world. Wyatt is ambitious, and I have no doubt he will take his passion for entrepreneurship and local history to do something interesting, something that makes a difference and shakes the world. The question, what will that turn out to be?
For me, one of the key words in Gandhi's phrase is gentle. Sometimes when we're raising teenagers, and especially when homeschooling and you're all up in each other's faces 24/7, okay, let's admit it, that whole gentle concept can fly out the window some days. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. We know how tough you sometimes have to be as an adult facing adversity, going through really hard stuff. And there is a sense that we need to, you know, toughen our kids up as they get ready to face the world on their own. That is a reality of life. However, I do believe it's possible to help your kids move in that direction without being a mean-spirited jerk.
That is so true. In fact, I had an eye-opening epiphany a couple of years ago. I realized that I had worked a lot harder at being a gentle mom when September was a little thing. Somewhere along the way, I think we forget that teen feelings are just as sensitive, maybe even more, than toddler feelings. We still need to be mindful of our voice and our approach. I'm not a yeller. I'm not a screamer. It's just not my nature. But I can be a bit snippy. I can be a little bit sharp. I have not outgrown that fault yet. Still working on it. So the other day, September's completing something for her online Spanish course, and she's like, I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to do here. Now, I could have gotten annoyed, and I could have said, hey, you are 16, figure it out. You have to know this stuff. You're going to college. I'm not going to be with you your whole life. I mean, you know what parents say when we get to this point. But I didn't. I just pulled up a chair, and we sat at the computer, and we worked through it together. And she kind of says, she goes, oh, that was kind of embarrassing. And I said, why? Have you ever done anything like that before? It's never embarrassing to ask for help. And see, now next time you'll know what to do and you won't need to ask for my help. And even if you do need to ask for it, that's fine. We're just sort of gently shaking the world. I am guiding her through one new experience at a time, and pretty soon she'll be off on her own.
And with boys, I think that is a particular challenge. It's not a choice between helicopter parent on one hand or throwing them under the bus on the other. It's the middle ground of gentle encouragement where we let our kids know that they can do hard things, but we as parents don't have to be a hard thing that they have to deal with in addition to the hard thing they were experiencing in the first place.
I kind of think that needs to be on a pillow. Let's just cross-stitch that there. Don't be the hard thing in your kid's life.
Exactly.
I know. Seriously, don't. So that's us taking on quotes that remind us how cool our teenagers are and how much they still really need us as parents to support them as they're growing up. So how about you, listeners? What epiphanies have you had about the differences in raising toddlers and teenagers? How has your heart ached as you gently guided your teenager to being who they really are? Does knowing that feeling afraid means we're doing it right, does that idea reassure you?
Please let us know. Kristen and I both have a heart for teens. We would love to hear about your experience in navigating the changes from toddlers to teens.
hop onto Facebook and Instagram. Let's continue this conversation. Our handle is onlyschoolers at both places. And as always, if you'd rather email us, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us a line at onlyschoolers@gmail.com.
Remember, if you've got your copy of A Homeschool Vocabulary, A to Z with the Only Schoolers, we would love to send you a personalized book plate. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers, and details on how to get your book plate are at onlyschoolers.com.
We would really love for you to review the book, too. Reviews will help others know how helpful this book could be on their homeschooling journey. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider supporting us financially. You can visit us at onlyschoolers.com and drop a little something in the Only Schoolers tip jar, or you can make a monthly contribution at anchor.fm/onlyschoolers.
Thank you so much for joining us today as we looked at the challenges and joys of raising teens. Go forth and gently shake the world, then come back and join us for another episode in a couple of weeks.